שלום הסכמה.
אוקיי, ברשות הקהל הקדוש הזה. Our words here tonight should be for a refuah shlema for Moshe Tzvi and Freda Simcha. Please come in. Moshe Tzvi and Freda Simcha, who started intense therapy today. For Shnir Yisera, for all of the Jewish people wherever they may find themselves, specifically the Jews who are under fire in Eretz Yisrael, and even more Bifrat, the soldiers who are risking their lives to try to make some quiet over there in the Middle East. So I thought we would talk just to Mechazik ourselves, because we're far away from Eretz Yisrael, and also Mechazik, learning about Eretz Yisrael is like being in Eretz Yisrael. And the more Jews that are in Eretz Yisrael doing mitzvos, so that creates a greater shmira for Am Yisrael. So I can't believe this is already the 11th or 12th shir in the series. I can't believe we've been speaking about Rav Kook for this long and we haven't spoken about Eretz Yisrael. It's hard to imagine. So as we always do, we'll start with the words of Rav Kook, but because the topic, as usual, can be found in the Parsha, there's an allusion to it in the Parsha, so before we dive into the holy words of Rav Kook, we'll just take a look at the connection to the Parsha so we can understand in the context of where we are in Zman, we'll be able to connect it to what we're doing here with Rav Kook. Parshas Maaseh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals to the Jewish people via the proxy, the agency of Moshe Rabbeinu, while they're standing ba'arvos Moav, a yardin yirecho leimor. Pasuk says, source number one, in Ha'aros, Vayidabar Hashem Moshe ba'arvos Moav al yardin yirecho leimor, daber al b'nei Yisrael v'amart aleim, ki atem ovrim es ha'yardin al Eretz Kanan. When you enter Eretz Yisrael, you pass over the Yarden, and you come into Eretz Canaan. V'horashtem es kol yoshe ha'aretz mipneichem, v'ibadtem es kol... Ah, Yaakov. V'horashtem es kol yoshe ha'aretz mipneichem, and you will inherit the land from all those who are there in front of you. V'ibadtem es kol... Maskiyosam, you'll destroy all remnants of them. Es kol tzalmei masechosam, and you'll destroy all their idols. Ta'abdu ves kol bamosam tashmidu, and all of their altars to those idols will also be annihilated. This pasuk, v'horashtem es kol yoshvei ha'aretz, that pasuk, the Ramban cites in his commentary, and also. In his Minyan HaMitzvos, as the source for the mitzvah of conquering the land of Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban writes, after quoting the Pasuk, he writes, Al dati zu mitzvos asehi. The Ramban writes that the settling of the land of Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvos asehi. The famous discussion why the Rambam doesn't count it as one of the Minyan HaMitzvos, he clearly, from other passages in the Rambam's books, it's clear that the Rambam counts the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as a biblical commandment, he just doesn't count it as one of the 613, and there's a vast literature on that. But the Ramban counts it as not only mitzvah sase, but he counts it as one of the 613 mitzvos. Yitzavosam shiashvu be'eretz, that you should be Osek in the midst of Yishuv. Yashvu ba'aretz v'yarshu, you should inherit the land. Kihu natna lahem, because it's given to you as a Yerusha, as an inheritance. V'lo masu v'nachlas Hashem, and a person should not chas v'shalom hate or despise the land of Eretz Yisrael. V'ilyale al daitam, and if it would come onto a person's mind, l'leches l'chvosh Eretz Shinar, or Eretz Ashur, if a person would think to go and to conquer the land of Shinar, or of Ashur, or of Uganda, or of any other place where you could imagine that we'll just have all the Jewish people settled together in a different land, because after all, the goal is that Jewish people should have a place to live and to keep Torah Mitzvos without being attacked, without being bothered by their neighbors. So then you would think maybe some of these places would be better region to settle. So Yavro Mitzvos Hashem, so if a person thinks that thought, that perhaps we should go settle in a different place, that's a violation of the Mitzvos Hashem. U'mashe afligu rabuseinu b'mitzvos yishuv ha'aretz, and that which the Chachamim over and over again speak of the import of the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael, of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, that people rolling around in the dust of Eretz Yisrael, how much Moshe Rabbeinu wanted so desperately to enter Eretz Yisrael, 515 tefilos. It's the idea that when Rav Huttner would go to visit Eretz Yisrael, when the great Rosh Hashiva Rav Huttner would go to visit Eretz Yisrael, so even if he had already davened shacharis and he put on his tefillin on the plane, when he would land in Eretz Yisrael, he would put them on again. Because he would say that the mitzvahs that are done outside of Eretz Yisrael can't compare to the mitzvahs that are done inside of Eretz Yisrael. And even though I did tefillin on a galistic level, to do it on an Eretz Yisrael level is a different thing. This is the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So listen to the words of Rav Kook. This is the first chapter we're going to read now. The first chapter of Rav Kook's Orus Eretz Yisrael. Rav Kook talks about the centrality of Eretz Yisrael, and you'll see what that means. After we read Rav Kook, we'll delve a little. What does that mean, the centrality? The centrality of Eretz Yisrael vis-a-vis what? To Judaism, to what? So Rav Kook always speaks with such beauty, such exalted poetic soul. An exalted poetic soul like Rav Kook can teach us how to express some of our own inner yearnings for Eretz Yisrael. Rav Kook writes, Eretz Yisrael inunu davar chitzoni. The land of Israel is not an external matter. Kinyan chitzoni le'uma. A piece of property which externally belongs to a certain nation, to the Jewish people. A land mass, like other nations have. Rak b'tor emtza'i l'matara sheles agdus haklalis v'achzakas kiyuma ha'chomri or afilu haruchani. It is not some emtza'i, some means, l'matara shel, to some, it's not a means to get to the goal of his agdus, of being able to unify, from the word igud, from making some union together, some general union of people coming together, or being mechazik, strengthening our ability to exist, both in a physical or even in a spiritual sense. Eretz Yisrael is not a union of states, it's not a union of people, not a union of shvatim, where we come together to better build a society so that we'll be able to make microchips and have faster computers or robotic legs or all the other amazing things that these things do come out of Excel. It's not the point. Or even the Kololim and the Harbatzas HaTorah that comes out of Eretz Yisrael. The profound spiritual art and music that comes, that's not, none of those things are the purpose. All of that is expressions of Eretz Yisrael. That's not, those are all Dvarim Chitzonim, which express the pneumius of what our connection to Eretz Yisrael is. Eretz Yisrael, he Chativa Atzmusis Keshura B'Kesher Chayim Im Ha'uma. Eretz Yisrael is a chativa, is a piece, is a chip off the block of the atzmius, of the essence, which is bound with a living bond to the life of the Jewish people. Chavuka b'sgulos pnimios im mitziusa. It is etched with, it is etched with segulos, with, it is etched with almost magical qualities. A segula means something which doesn't work according to the laws of logic. With almost surreal qualities. If anyone saw, there was an article recently, terrorist saying, was quoted as saying in one of these newspapers, something to the effect of, I'm sure he didn't say it in English, and that's probably a lot more guttural when he said it, but something to the effect of, their God changes the course, the direction of our rockets in midair. I don't understand. The Gemara talks about such things already. The Gemara says that this guy, I don't think, had the same ending, but the Gemara talks about certain generals of the Roman legionaries who were going to fight against Yerushalayim, that they would shoot their arrows, and the arrows would just like go in all different directions, no matter where they went. They saw miracles. And the Roman legionnaire general who saw that converted to Judaism. I don't think this guy went that far. It's a place which doesn't operate within the normal construct of what we would expect as natural. There are segulos pnimios imitziusa. There are segulos pnimios that are bound up with its essence. Umitoch kach yafshar lamor latochim shal segulas kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, as an introductory statement to my sefer, I'm telling you right now that it's impossible for me to describe. I'll try, but it's impossible for me to describe the segula of the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. It's not a place where we could just make like a big, you know, like treehouse club. Like no, you know, you're not allowed in or you're not allowed in. It's not a place where we hope to somehow, you know, create spiritual or physical revolutions. It's deeper than all that. Lehutzi l'pol is omek chavta b'shum haskala ratzionalit. There's no way to descend into the depth to be able to explain this in some rational way. Anoshit kim beruach Hashem asher ha'uma b'chlala. Only a person who's a member of the Jewish people can understand the innate, almost, again, there's, if anyone can think of a better word for segula, but it's almost a magical, an almost magical connection that the Jewish people, super rational maybe, connection that the Jewish people have to this land. Something which is naturally present in the soul of a Jewish person. This feeling, this natural feeling, which pulsates through the soul of a Jewish person, sends forth all of its different rays, all of its different kaveh, different colors, into the ways of the world that's felt by all of creation. And it spreads forth its rays, its shine, which is a divine light, according to its character, its exalted spiritual and holy character, which fills life with a elevated pleasantness. Which completely fills the depth of the thoughts of the Jewish people. A little bit of a taste of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Dessler, in his own way, in source number 3, describes this phenomenon as a davar nifla. Rav Dessler writes, "Man niflahu, how wondrous, how strange, how peculiar, that ze alafim shana, for thousands of years, shegalinu miartzeinu, we were exiled from our land, ve'ech nish'ara ahavasa b'libeinu. How is it possible that after all these thousands of years, we maintain such a deep, resonant love for the land, which at the time of Rav Dessler was not what it is today? How is that possible? Yan ki einzu etzleinu l'umius. This is not nationalism. This is not some, as Rav Kook was saying, echoing the same type of words, even though they came from very different backgrounds and very different places. Anan, like the nations of the world. Because if that were the case, we would have already long ago forgotten better Eretz Yisrael. Like the Chevra who set up shop in Washington Heights, they're not yearning for Spain the way, or Mexico, the way that we're yearning for Eretz Yisrael. It's not the same thing. They may have chimichurris the way that we have shawarma, you know, or whatever. They may have their national foods, but it's not the same thing. It's not people, as I'm sure all of you are, under their covers at night while your wife is asking you, why is there a glow from under the covers at like 2:30 in the morning as you're checking the news? Because you're just, you can't breathe with what's going on in Eretz Yisrael right now. It's a sense of identification which goes beyond what could be explained by rational terms. This Ava, this love for the land of Eretz Yisrael is not a physical love. It's a love which is bound to holiness. It's the Kedusha which emanates from that land, which finds its expression, like Rav Kook said, in the soul of the Jewish person. Shesham ba Kadosh Baruch Hu bosa kedusha dvuka banu. That kedusha of Kadosh Baruch Hu, that chelak elokam imal, that chelak elokam imal, which is inside every single Jew, like the Pasuk in Iyov says, that we're all a chelak elokam imal, a piece of godliness. That chelak elokam imal, which is present in the heart of every Jew, is also bound to Eretz Yisrael. It's the same feeling. Ki yerushahi b'nafshenu me'avinu avram, because it's a inheritance that we received from Avram Avinu, Shemasar Nafshul Avram B'Nisayin Lech Lecha. Rav Kook's obsession with Eretz Yisrael was not unique to Rav Kook, as we'll see this evening. But just to share with you one or two stories, just we're speaking about Rav Kook this year and Rav Kook's thought, share with you just a few choice stories about Rav Kook's relationship with the land of Eretz Yisrael. One story is about a woman who came to his door one day asking for some money. And when she came to the door and she asked for some money, so his daughter answered the door, and it seemed to his daughter that this woman was not really from around here. She had never seen this woman before. And she could tell by the accent she wasn't really from Eretz Yisrael. But the lady insisted that she was from Eretz Yisrael. She was asking for help. She heard that there's a goodly rabbi here who helps people with difficult financial situations. And Rav Kook, hearing something going on by the door, stood up, came to the door, and as he was about to go to the door, his daughter said, just one moment, and she closed the door slightly, and she leaned over to her and said, I don't think this lady's from Eretz Yisrael. I think this is a... And Rav Kook said that just the fact that she knows to say that she's from Eretz Yisrael and to think that that's a special thing, we should give her a little bit extra. Just the fact that she knows that saying I'm from Eretz Yisrael is like, even if it's not true, that she knows that that's something which makes her deserving of a little extra. So then, just the fact that she recognizes that she deserves a little extra. Rav Kook, as is known probably to most people here, was a controversial figure for number of reasons. He loved Jews so much. He hung out with some Jews who maybe didn't love Torah the way that he loved them. And therefore, Rav Kook got a bad name for himself, and people would hang up posters around Yerushalayim with all types of nasty things. Pictures of Rav Kook, or just writings, Hahu Rasha, Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, all these terrible, terrible things. And one day Rav Kook was walking with his son Tzvi Yehuda, who always was trying to get his father to, you know, oh, look, let's go this way, because he didn't want his father to be hurt. His father was very sensitive. He wanted to see the posters with all these vile curses, condemnations of this of Rav Kook. One time Tzvi Yehuda, I guess, saw the poster a little bit too late, and Rav Kook had already seen it. And Rav Tzvi Yehuda was so embarrassed, he covered his face, he couldn't bear to look. And Rav Kook was looking at this poster, smiling from ear to ear. The poster said something to that effect, you know, Hahu Rasha, Avram Yitzchak Kohen Kook, Afra Bapuma, should have dirt in his mouth. It's a Talmudic expression which shows a lack of respect to a person. Put dirt in his mouth. Cook said, it seems to me that these people are obviously talking about the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. They're going to import dirt from somewhere else. He said, I would gladly have the dirt of Eretz Yisrael in my mouth. What a beautiful blessing. The dirt of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara in Ksubis, famous Gemara in Kufiyot Aleph, talks about how the Tanan, when they would come to Eretz Yisrael, they would kiss the ground and there would be dirt on their lips. Cook said, I would love to have the dirt of Eretz Yisrael in my mouth. A person who had a love for the land of Eretz Yisrael, which knew no bounds, as you can see from his writing. This is not something which is unique to Rav Kook. The problem is that we don't see Eretz Yisrael today as if it was given to us today. We see it as an old gift, which we sort of feel like we're entitled to, but we've read enough news, or we've heard enough things, or that we sometimes ask ourselves, are we really entitled to this? The Alter Rebbe of Lubavitch, it's not in the Koros, but the Alter Rebbe of Lubavitch in the Igros HaKodesh in letter 14, so the Alter Rebbe wrote that he's writing a letter La'or Sa'ava HaYishana to wake up the old love, the Chibas Eretz HaKodesh, the delight and the desire for the Holy Land, Lios bo eres kirish ve'esh, to burn like embers of fire, mikerev ish v'leiv amo ki'ilu hayom mamish nasan Hashem. Ki'ilu mamish today, HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the land of Eretz Yisrael. That's how a person has to see Eretz Yisrael. That's the only way that we can see it in the way that all the tzaddikim saw it. Listen to these words. Look in source number, we'll start to move a little quicker now. Look in source number 4. This is from Rav Yeruchim Lubavitz of Mir. He's quoting the first Rashi. The first Rashi says, really, the Torah should have started with the Chodesh Zelachem, but Hashem wanted to tell us that Eretz Yisrael belongs to us. All of Sefer Bereishis and the first part of Shmos is really to get to this din of the Chodesh Zelachem, but everything we need before that to tell us the background, why it is that we deserve Eretz Yisrael. And he writes, L'chor temua be'inenu. Seems strange in our eyes. Eich shekol ma'ase bereishis saper l'seis haTorah ach v'rak l'man tachlis kivush haaretz. The whole Torah, the first book and a half, was given just so we can understand that we have a right to kivush haaretz. Amnum kein. But yes, it's true. V'zeu bi'ar advar. Let me explain this to you. Klal v'ikar gadol tzarich leid. That person needs to know this very well. Know this well. Cut it out. Keep it in your wallet. Ki afsha Torah rabu and yanav ain't lain misbar. Even though the Torah contains many different topics, mikol makom kol haTorah kula harehi kimodaf gemara echad. The whole Torah from the beginning, from Bereishis bara Elokim until the Einei Kol Yisrael, is like one daf of Gemara. B'chol haTorah kula yesh tachlis achas. There's one purpose of the whole Torah. Shaleh sovim holchem kol anyanim. That to it spiral and walk all of its different topics. Anachnu lomdim harbe b'Torah. We learn a lot of different things in the Torah. Ve'inu atzlenu ela prakim prakim. And we see it as different topics, different sugyas, different mesechtos within the Torah. Ze'inu to. That's not true. That's not right. Ha'ikru hu shakol haTorah kula tzrich lios hemshech echad v'sugya achas kmo perek hamafkin. It has to be seen like one perek, one long hemshech. Mi bereishis ad la'inu kol Yisrael sugya achas Rabbi Yitzchak mevar lanu. On that first Rashi, Rashi explains to us in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak. The sugya of the Kol HaTorah Kula, the sugya shal Kol HaTorah Kula is Eretz Yisrael. Haneshama shal Kol HaTorah Kula hi kibosh haaretz. Zos omeres, that means to say, lasos makum la'ashras ha'shchina kumo shekasov amor machon l'shivtecha pa'alta Hashem. The whole sugya of the Torah, the entire Torah, is all about Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the focal point, it's the center of the Torah, it's the center of the universe. I'd learned this Maharal many, many times, but for some reason tonight I read it in a different way. Unbelievable way. What you have there on the side, that little picture, is actually an old map. It used to be that people, when they would make maps, even non-Jews, they would make maps
with Yerushalayim in the middle. It was very common. There was a type of map that they would have, where they would have Yerushalayim right in the middle, Eretz Yisrael right in the middle, with Yerushalayim in the middle of that. Then they would have this, like, daisy kind of flower figure with, like, two petals going out this way and one petal going down, and they would have Africa and Europe and Asia, and they'd have everything kind of spread out with Yerushalayim right in the middle. That idea is based on the Medrash Tanchuma. The Medrash Tanchuma says, why is the rock which rests, according to many, that rock which rests on the site of the Har HaBayis, for which the famous dome of the rock is named, is called the Evin HaKasiyah. Other people dispute that, say they think this is a big fancy rock. That big rock was just the lost and found in the Beis HaMikdash. It was this big rock called the Evin HaToin, where people would go and put lost objects, and then people would go and have to give Simon in there, and they'd claim it as like the local lost and found. They think it's like some big thing. Could be it's just a lost and found. But it could also be the Evin Shasiyah, which would be something more significant, which is the foundation stone. Why is it called the foundation stone? So the Medrash says, Kishem Shatibur Azeh Nasim Be'emtza Ish, just as the belly button is placed in the center of the human being, so Kach Eretz Yisrael Yosheves Be'emtzasa Shal Olam, so to Eretz Yisrael, which is called the Tibur in Psukim. It's called the Tibur, the belly button of the world. And Eretz Yisrael is Yosheves Be'emtza Shal Olam, Yerushalayim Be'emtzasa Shal Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim is in the middle of that, Beis HaMikdash is in the middle of that, Heichal is in the middle of that, the Aron is in the middle of that, and the Evin Shasiyah is where the Aron is sitting. It's the center of the universe, the eye of the universe. It's from that place, as Sfarim explain, that the whole world unfolded. The world unfolded from that place like this, and therefore it is both the center of the universe and also the highest place in the universe, like the Gemara says in Kiddusha. That comes along the Maharal, and the Maharal wrote a famous sefer called Ber HaGola. The Ber HaGola is a sefer which was written to defend against the attacks of a Jew named Azariah de Rossi. Azariah de Rossi wrote a sefer called Ma'orei Naim, not the one that was written by the tzaddik of Menachem Nachum Chernobyl. He wrote a different sefer called Ma'orei Naim, and in it he attacks all of the strange Ma'amri Chazal, which on the surface seem to not be what we know them to be. And the Maharal felt that he needed to defend it, so he wrote a sefer called Ber HaGola, fascinating sefer. It's translated into English, I don't want to read it. And in the sefer Ber HaGola, the Maharal explains what does it mean that Eretz Yisrael is the center of the universe. So you take a ruler and you would measure, or you any way you slice the globe, however, by the time of the Maharal, they're already making discoveries about the nature of the world not being flat. So any way you slice it, Eretz Yisrael is not in the center. So what does that mean it's in the center? So the Maharal writes at length, he says, look in source number 7 just for a moment, V'daki devar hazeh ma'asher mu'chazal, ki Yerushalayim be'emtza olam, hu kamo shar devar ma'asher hevanu lo. This is like everything else we've been explaining the whole sefer. Ki b'nei adam evinam ha'devar ma'ilu al medidos hashir hagashmi ha'muchash. People think this is talking about a physical, like take out a measuring stick, take out a ruler, and try to see the physical properties of Eretz Yisrael, that it's somewhere in the middle of the world. V'ein ha'devarim kach kalal. That doesn't make any sense. The proof to this is, and listen to this, is what really set me off. Because Eretz Yisrael is in the middle of the world, just like the belly button is in the middle of the human being. But of course, there's the Maharal, if you would take a ruler and you would measure from your belly button up and your belly button down, that would not be the physical center of the universe. And therefore, the Maharal goes on to explain how, in reality, we're speaking on a spiritual dimension about the fact that Eretz Yisrael is the meeting point between physicality and spirituality, just like the belly button is the place where you put a belt, where you put a gartel, which separates between the upper parts of your body and the lower parts of your body. But as he was saying this, and I was reading it, I don't know how I never thought of this before. I read this Gemara so many times over the past, 11, 12 years of my life. The idea that Eretz Yisrael is the Tibur Haaretz. Why do we have belly buttons? What's a child's belly button? Leftover from their belly button. It's the source of nourishment. I never thought of that before in my life. Eretz Yisrael is called the Tibur Haaretz. because as the Gemara says in many different places, in Tanis, in many different places, that all of the nourishment that comes to the world, all of the rain that comes to the world, only comes through the nourishment of Eretz Yisrael. Everything else is just leftovers. Eretz Yisrael is called the belly button of the world because it is the place where we connect to the Ima on high, the Shechina. It's the place where the Shechina is able to send down nourishment into the world. And therefore, everything in Eretz Yisrael has infinite value. We're not speaking in physical terms here. Like Rav Kook said, we're not speaking here about things which are rationally understood. Why is it that if you go to a nursery, or you go to a elementary school in America, and it's time for recess and it starts to rain, so all the kids are bummed, you know, that, oh man, the rain ruined our recess. But in Eretz Yisrael, if you go to an elementary school and the first rains of the season, the kids are mom's dancing, they're making brachos, as a bracha you make on the first rain of Eretz Yisrael. We're not talking here about physical qualities. The rain of Eretz Yisrael is not just stam rain. It's a reflection of an outer reality. The Maharal writes in many different places, there's a Gemara that says, it's a funny Gemara, the Gemara says, if you have like a kid over at your house, someone else's kid, and you want to give them like a treat, you want to give them chocolate, right? So do me a favor, if you ever have Noah and you want to give her something, so the Gemara says, you should smear a little of whatever it is that you're giving them on the face of the kid. Like you're giving them chocolate, so like put a little chocolate on their face, but the kid's not going to wipe it off. And then when the kid gets home, so then the mother will at least see that you gave them the chocolate, the father will see you gave them the chocolate, and A, they'll be able to thank you, and B, they'll be able to know that this kid already had chocolate, they don't need more chocolate. But this is the din. You have to tell people when you're giving them presents. The Gemara there's talking about having a karza tov. So the Maharal is an amazing thing. He says it a few places. He says it in Gvuras Hashem. The Maharal says that everything that's happening, why is it that all the Yom Tovim, the Jewish people, they all surround, like, it's the Zman HaKatzir, it's the time of harvest, the time of planting, what's the pshat? Because the Maharal says that Hashem is giving us spiritual things in the world. He's giving us access to all different types of good things. Beruchness. But we can't see, we don't have the kelim to see. We have bodies, we have eyes, we don't have the kelim to see ruchness. So you know what Hashem does? Hashem smears a little chocolate on the earth. What's a little chocolate on the earth? When the plants are starting to grow, when the whole world is being redeemed, and you see that the trees, which are locked up in prison, become laden with fruits again, so then that happens in Nisan, because that's when the world is being redeemed spiritually also. When things go into hiding, it's a time for gevura, a time for constriction, a time for working on oneself inwardly. All these different manifestations in the physical world are just expressions of spiritual realities that are going on in the world. That's why everything else in the world that doesn't come from Eretz Yisrael is just, it's subpar. Because it's not mirroring the spiritual reality of existence. I'll tell you an amazing story. You can read it inside if you want. Source number 8. Story about the Beis Avram of Slonim. The Beis Avram of Slonim once went to Eretz Yisrael. And on his way back from Eretz Yisrael, he took a little piece of bread. A roll. This big. And he brought it with him on the boat. By the time he got back, you know, there weren't preservatives, and it was a long journey. By the time he got back, it was a tiny little pebble. It was like a rock-hard piece of bread. Tiny little pebble, nothing, not really even edible. It came time for Shabbos, so he wanted to use this bread as Lechem Mishnah. So he had this little, tiny piece of bread, this little roll, and one of these like big Rebbesha chals, the big ones. And he thought, Lechem Mishnah, so I'll have the second one anyway, this is no big deal. And when he got to the table and he sat down, all of a sudden he had a shiloh, because the halacha is you're really supposed to make the bracha, meaning Lechem Mishnah, you can have whatever size you want, but really you're supposed to make the bracha on the more chashuv bread. There are different ways of determining what's more chashuv. One of the ways of determining is how big it is, and how fresh it is. So you have this stale little piece of challah, and you have this gigantic, huge, fluffy Rebbesha challah. But on the other hand, this is Chala from Eretz Yisrael. It's also Chashev. So he turned to one of the Chassidim who was there, who was a Chassid of the Yesod Avoda, one of the previous Slonim Rebbe's. And he asked him this Kasha, he knew which one should I do. So
this old chassid said to me, he said, it's a beferish Rashi in Chumash. It's beferish in the Torah what you should do. Because in the Brisbane, Absarim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Avraham Avinu the geographical guidelines for the borders of Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him that it goes all the way until Hanar HaGadol Nar Pras. The great river, the big river, Nar Pras, the Euphrates. Amarashi, hello Katanhu. Rashi says, but the Nar Pras is one of the smallest rivers in the whole world. We have humongous rivers. This is a tiny river. Rashi writes, El Mishum Kvoda Shel Eretz Yisrael Karim Lo Gadol. But because it's attached, because it's davuk to Eretz Yisrael, therefore it's the bigger one. So even though the little chal looks like it's little, because it's from Eretz Yisrael, it's really the bigger one. There's no shaila. Make the bracha on the little chal. Because as big as the big chal is, it's not attached to the etzim of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Nachman writes in source number 9, on the pasuk says it's on the third line. Asher lo b'meskinos tochel b'alechem. One of the brachos of Eretz Yisrael. Lo b'meskinos tochel alechem. Not in poverty will you eat bread. The pasuk pshat is that there'll be abundance of bread. You'll never have poverty, so that you won't be able to have an abundance of bread in Eretz Yisrael. But listen to this ma'isa from Rabbi Nachman. It's not a ma'isa, it's a Torah, but it's a ma'isa. Rabbi Nachman said, what happens all the time? A person has an option to have a Danish or to have a piece of white bread. So you can choose the Danish or the white bread. Pasha. There's no Shaila. Right? No? Shaila? Right? So there's no question. But he says sometimes, Rabbi Nachman says, sometimes a person all he has is bread. He's not making a choice for bread. If a person has to choose, so then he chooses whatever he wants, the best thing. So Rabbi Nachman said, you know what it means? Lo b'meskenos tochel lechem? It doesn't mean not in poverty will you not eat bread. It doesn't mean that like in Eretz Yisrael there's going to be a shortage of bread, and then the Torah is telling you, no, in Eretz Yisrael there won't be a shortage of bread. It means lo b'meskenos tochel lechem. You won't eat bread from Eretz Yisrael because that's all you have, because you're in a state of poverty. But rather you'll have everything you could possibly imagine in the world, and still because of the great love that you have for Eretz Yisrael, even just a simple piece of bread is going to be like, you don't eat bread because that's all you have. You eat bread because even a drop of bread from Eretz Yisrael is so chashuv. Rav Wolfson writes that in benching we speak of Eretz Yisrael as an Eretz Chemda Tova Urchava. Eretz Yisrael is an Eretz Chemda Tova Urchava. It is a desirous, good, and expansive land. Urchava, very wide. So, all you have to do is look at a map and you see that that's not true. So, Rav Wolfson says that yes, maybe it's true if you're talking here about property in a classic sense. So, if I offer you a square foot of property and I say, I want $100,000 for a square foot of property. So, you look at me like I'm insane. But if I tell you I'm going to give you one square foot diamond, if I tell you that this is not a piece of property, this is a one square foot diamond, so then that's the biggest diamond in the world, probably. Eretz Chemda Tova Urchava, the Chemda and the Tova of Eretz Yisrael are make it Urchava. And as a person trying to buy a house in Eretz Yisrael, I'll tell you that it's true. It's impossible. It's so expensive. It's impossible. Because it's an Eretz Chemda Tova Urchava. One little drop of Eretz Yisrael, one tiny square of Eretz Yisrael is... We don't understand what that is. In the Torah, in Chushin Mishpat, in Simon Sadi Hey, the Torah writes from the Gaonim, we don't pass in this way, but it's amazing, this is a real shita in the Gaonim. That the Gaonim write that it could be that only Eretz Yisrael is called Karka. Land anywhere else in the world is called Metalpalin, is movable property. It doesn't have the status of Karka. There are certain dinim where you need Karka. You need Karka in certain cases to acquire things, b'derech kinyan karka. Karka is something that you're not allowed to take a shvu on. Because you can't. Karka maybe is only in Eretz Yisrael. Because everything else outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's just a shadow. It's an image, it's an illusion of. But it's not the real thing. End of the story. Well, everybody... for the barbecue.
There was a tzaddik named Rav Avram of Arvich. He's buried in Tzfat, in the cemetery, with the rest of the Holy Chevra, with the Arizal and Bis Yosef. And Rav Avram of Arvich, Basayim, was told by a shliach from Eretz Yisrael one time, he came to visit the community, he was told that if you go to Eretz Yisrael, I'm telling you, everyone's saying, what's it like there? Tell us everything. I'm telling you, if you go to Eretz Yisrael, the streets are filled with diamonds. Everywhere you look, just diamonds everywhere. And they're talking about different inyanim in Eretz Yisrael, how things going over there. Shliach left, many years passed. Finally, opportunity arose for Avram Arvich to get to Eretz Yisrael. When he got to Eretz Yisrael, so he settled in, he went to Tzfat, he was very, very happy to be there. But he always secretly held a grudge against the shliach for telling him that the streets were filled with diamonds. It just wasn't true. He was living in Tzfat for a while, and one day, he bumped into the shliach. I don't know if it was in Tzfat or outside of Tzfat, and he said, I moved to Eretz Yisrael because you told me there's diamonds, but why did you lie to us? And the shliach said to Rav Avram of Arvich, he said to the Basayan, he said, just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. And it pierced his heart in such a way, he was so hurt, by that, that he had totally misjudged and misunderstood what the person was saying, that he locked himself away in a room for a period of time until he felt that he would be ready to come out and to see Eretz Yisrael for what it really was. And when he came out, he said to all of his students, he said he was so right. Shliach was so right. The whole Eretz Yisrael is filled with diamonds. And just because a person didn't see it, and everybody sitting in this room, if you spent any time in Eretz Yisrael, you saw it. You saw the diamonds. But just because we don't always get to see it, just because it's not always simple to see the diamonds, doesn't mean that they're not there. Hashem should help us. Should be zoche that the umbilical cord, which is so precious, it's the life force where we're getting everything from, we're getting all of our strength to continue to exist in the Gulf until we all make it back. And this is not, nobody should understand this in any way, shape, or form as like a person who lives in Eretz Yisrael thinking that like anything more than being humbled every single day that I get to live there. This is not a I did it and you didn't. I didn't do anything. I pinch myself all the time. I don't know what I did to deserve to spend one day in Eretz Yisrael. It's a tremendous privilege. Now that everyone is zocha, that you have to daven strong and you have to make good life decisions with guidance. But Hashem should help us that we should be zocha, whether we're here, whether we're there. Like the Baal Shem Tov said, "B'mokom machshavto shel ish or isha, sham hu kulo." In the place where a person is thinking, the place where a person's mind is, that's where they are entirely. We should be zocha to connect ourselves to the umbilical cord and to nourish ourselves from the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, from the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, until the time when we can all go back together today and vizocha to the bracha of the Nachla, which is Bli Meitzarim, in 3 weeks, the time of Meitzarim, Bli Meitzarim, Nachla, Bli Meitzarim, Eretz Yisrael will be able to stretch out in accordance with its great blessings, the Bi'as Kol Tzedek.
Amen.